Hicks on the field. It's a miracle. Tennessee has pulled a miracle.
Gerard steps up, fires, Mike Sims, Walker, knocked down.
Oh, he caught it! Oh, unbelievable! Mike Thomas, touchdown, Jay!
I'm gonna make these haters believe. All right, here we go. Another edition of AFC South Huddle with your host, True Titan, AKA Logan Holland, with my boy, Dane South, and Ryan Hughes. How's everybody doing tonight, Bulls?
Man, feeling good.
Feeling good? Feeling real good. Let's do this.
No, it feels good this week. After we get that first preseason week in there, we finally got football back on the field. It's nice to see them tees out there playing football, man. I tell you what, I'm excited now. I mean, I was excited before, but now it's just, I'm fired up.
There was no better feeling than seeing football back on the TV, that's for sure.
Yeah, oh yeah, man, I love that week one pass popping. I loved it.
Thank God football's back.
I know, it was a good feeling to kind of see kind of where you, I know it's week one preseason, but kind of see where your teams are at, get to feel for where things at, and just see you guys fly around the pad and get each other again, man. It's no better feeling in the world, just a... Yeah. When it's football time.
Now you know it's real. Preseason week one, now we're in. Let's go, football, let's do this.
Let's do this, man. We're in.
Right here?
I'm here, can you hear me?
Now we can.
All right.
Okay. What do we got on deck, Lug?
All right, well, let's go over some stuff. We got some stuff for this episode. We're gonna talk about week one. See how the AFC South look this week. We have some pretty good games. We'll talk about what we thought about some of the players and the performances of the games. Then later we're gonna get into our personal power rankings, preseason power rankings right now. Then we're gonna do preseason Super Bowl predictions. Get into the flow of the season. Then we're gonna talk a little bit about a few other things. We got CJ's holdout on the list. Get on to that a little bit, and we'll talk a little bit about the first quarter of the regular season schedule coming up. Since regular season gonna be right around that corner before we know it. And then with us, you know, we fantasy play. We got fantasy leagues ourselves. We got our fantasy football teams. We're gonna talk about. We got a couple drafts coming up with ourselves. And we're going to try to help some other players out. We're going to give our top fantasy players we get thinking this year and also our top sleeper fantasy players we need to go along with that, too.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right. Let's go right into week one. We'll start off with Tennessee and Minnesota in Tennessee. Tell you what, I mean, I like what I saw compared to the last couple seasons. Seeing Mike Munchak's mentality and what he brings to this team finally be personified on the field and see what we get out of that. It's just an exciting sight to see. I mean, we finally got to see Hasselbeck, see how he was going to control our offense, but also to see the potential of Jake Locker in there, too. And I tell you what, we all talked about it last podcast about the big knock on him. Everybody still was his accuracy. But coming out, you know, he looked like a seasoned vet, 7-10, 89 yards for a touchdown. I mean, I know it's preseason week one, but he didn't look rattled at all. He looked good. I want to get y'all thoughts about what y'all saw in that game.
He looked good to me. You know, Hasselbeck looked pretty good, you know, for not having any time with this offense. And he came out and said his cadence and the whole play calling was completely different than what he's had pretty much his whole career. So, you know, not having a lot of practice, he came in. He's just smooth, man. He's a smooth operator. He's not going to make a lot of dumb mistakes. He's going to manage the game, and that's the most important thing, you know. I know it's preseason and all, but considering he didn't have that much time, I thought Hasselbeck looked good. And Locker did you know, much better than I expected. He came out and looked pretty polished himself. I mean, you know, the fumbled snap, and then he immediately got out of the pocket for the 45-yard touchdown pass. It just, that looked really good to me. That looked like a veteran throw right there. He didn't panic. He didn't freak out. He didn't try to, you know, a lot of these rookie quarterbacks, they get in a bind, they run. And he can run, too. But he didn't. He stayed in there, threw a strike, touchdown. I loved it. I thought both quarterbacks looked good.
Both quarterbacks looked great, and I was as far as the rookie quarterback showed the most composed. The way he grabbed that ball off the ground, looks like he's been doing it in the bigs for years already. I mean, class act guy. I mean, he put that ball right on the line when you know he needed to make the play the most.
Right. And see, that was one of the things I like. I mean, you're looking at it, like you said, with young quarterbacks in particular. I mean, when they get in trouble and they get in a bind in game time situations, one of their first instincts is that they were. I mean, they use their athletic ability in college when they got in the bind and they were just so much gifted athletically more than everybody else. They just run the ball and they pick up touchdowns and first downs all over the field, but. He can't do that in the NFL, and that's what I like. One of the plays, too, he got kind of in trouble in the pocket. He kind of just slid over into the pocket, stepped up, and kept his eyes down the field and picked up a first down, like on third down, instead of actually trying to run for the ball. So that's kind of like what I see, because he looks like he's got a seasoned vet mentality about him. I mean, he's coming in, and he's making the smart plays he needs to make. It's hurt.
He didn't look like his pants were on fire the whole game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of these kids get in there and they're just overwhelmed by the moment, even in a preseason game. And he looked very calm and collected to me. And like you said, not breaking the pocket, looking downfield. That's what I'm looking for right now. I want your eyes downfield. You know, we've been in the Vince Young era for a while and, you know, one progression, maybe two, and then run if it wasn't there. And this guy was going through his progression, staying in the pocket, and looked good to me. The kid looked real good. We had Ponder, too, on the other side. He was 8 for 13 for 84 yards. He didn't look bad. He didn't look all crazy to me. I mean, 8 of 13 is respectable.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I looked, too. I mean, Ponder on the other side, that young quarterback, looked pretty good from his stance too. I think our defense did a pretty good job against him from what they did, because our defense on that side looked really good. I mean, I'm excited about that defense from what we saw out there. That's one of the breakout players I saw and I liked in that game is the team errors. If you look at that tape, he's all over the field. I mean, he was all over the ball. Whatever the ball was, he was finding the ball. I think on one of Joe Webb's passes, he knocked it down at the line of scrimmage. I mean, he's flying to the ball, and that's something we haven't seen in the last couple of years with Tennessee linebackers. I mean, we haven't seen linebackers that can flow side to side and run like he can and make some explosive plays. And it's nice to see a playmaker on that side of the ball from Tennessee's standpoint.
What's next? What game are we going to talk about next?
Let's talk about that Texans and Jets game that we had Monday night. Ronnie, you want to get a little bit out of that?
Ronnie?
Ronnie, you there?
Well, I guess we'll have to talk about it, Logan.
I think we lost Ronnie, but... Let's go into it a little bit. We're going to talk. It was 20-16. I like what I saw. We're going to look at young quarterbacks from the standpoint, too. Greg McElroy from on the Jets side. He actually looked pretty good. I mean, he went 23-39. I mean, he passed a lot. Went for 208 for a touchdown and no picks. Only thing I say about that Jets and that offensive line kind of looked shaky because that defense of Houston was, I think there was like 6 or 7 sacks on that they got. I mean,
they were in there all night long.
Texans defense team, they're running out. Good minimum team. There was like so many, you know, go look at the tapes and see how many that was, you know, a chase, you know, I mean, from being another sack. So
right.
There was 10. I mean, they were so close. They were putting the pressure where they needed to. And that's something, seeing that heck of a defense from the Texans, I think something that we didn't see a lot of last year.
And I would just say it's kind of breaking up a little bit, but I think it's a little bit of that fourth down syndrome, that Texans connection. It's kind of hard coming into that headset over there, but I like what you're hearing. One of the things from Texans standpoint, really there was two things that surprised me at quarterback. One of them was Matt Schaub. I mean, wasn't in there for too long, but kind of looked a little shaky while he was in there. I mean, he only went 5 for 20 yards. And Liner come in, I mean, and he went 8 for 14 for 78, touchdown and a pick.
Don't even say quarterback controversy, Ronnie. Don't even say Liner's going to come in there and take that man's job. Come on now.
There's no way Liner will come take that job. And Schaub did look a little shaky. There was a few balls where he just let them sail over their head, and I was like, come on, man. Yeah, there's simple passes. I mean, guys wide open that he was just, you know, too high, too low in the dirt. And I was like, that was so uncharacteristic of Schaub, who's usually, you know, he's usually a pretty consistent passer, and he was just off point. And to have, you know, Liner, you know, come in and, you know, kind of showcase some kind of skills, you know, but there's no controversy in Houston.
Well,
if any controversy, I think it'd be T.J. Yates and Liner for backup.
Yeah.
Well, see, that is the one thing. I mean, he looked a little shaky, but the games were going to tell it. In week 3 preseason, that's going to be the one to let you know if he's really going to struggle this year or something, if he's going to have any trouble. But if anything's wrong, it's going to come out week 3 when they play about 3/4 of that game.
Ronnie, did anybody else stick out to you in that game?
I mean, J.J. Watts looked like a total, like he's been running this defense, you know, more than, you know, this is one game. He's looked impressive in camp. The guy came alive in this first preseason game. You know, he looked outstanding. The other concern I have is Mario Williams is going to adjust to this 3-4. He's used to playing that defensive end, you know, his college career. As long as he's been drafted since 06, he's been playing that defensive end. Now, you put him back in this, you know, 3-4 defense where he's actually playing an outside linebacker. And when they ran at him, he looked shaky. He looked kind of on his heels a little bit, like he was having to make adjustments he's not used to. And that's something I know, you know, I know he's going to pick up. He's going to make the adjustments. I mean, it's Mario Williams. He was the first-round draft pick, you know, not only for him.
Well, I mean, it's a whole other position. It looked like he was getting his leg cut out from under him every 5 seconds. I mean,
right.
It just did not look real comfortable. And, you know, you got to give him some time.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's his first game, I mean, adjusting to that position.
He's usually coming out of the downstand.
It's his first game coming in that new position. It's going to take time. And like I said, he did look shaky. I mean, that was maybe one concern you could kind of look at, just to see how well he progresses into that 3-4 linebacker. I think he's going to come around. It's just going to take a little more time. Because, I mean, what do you feel about it's going to put him in the right position? I give it to him. I said, you know, that was a terrible defense they had last year. That first game coming out, I mean, you can see the difference that Wade Phillips made just being there already. I mean, they're not a top.
That's secondary. That's secondary. That secondary looked so much, you know, more prepared. I mean, even we still didn't even have Jonathan Joseph playing in that game.
Right. All right. Well.
So, it was so much. Teams were playing their first, you know, the first string teams out there. We held the Jets 3 points. We put the pressure on Mark Sanchez and kind of exposed Mark Sanchez to what he is. Mark Sanchez, you put pressure on the guy. He's not your elite quarterback that everybody thinks he is. I mean, seeing Greg McElroy come out there, he looked more composed. I mean, McElroy went, 23 of 39 for 208 and a touchdown, and he looked more composed back there than Sanchez did under pressure. So.
And if it wasn't for a drop ball at the end of the game, he would have had 2 touchdowns and probably won that game for him, too.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. So, I mean, you know, the other guy that's kind of stood out, I mean, Chris Obanaya, I mean, he had a score. He had, you know, he was great catching passes out of the backfield. One of those guys that, you know, if my boy Foster goes down, I wouldn't mind seeing Obanaya back there getting the bulk of the carries. I mean, he played the whole game because they didn't have that. Or, you know, Ben Tate was still out of all.
He looked like a workhorse.
Out there his first game. Yeah, I mean, he had over, what he had, 114 all-purpose, two touchdowns, receiving touchdown and a rushing touchdown. So.
I liked his presence more than anything on the stats. I liked a couple of the times that they got pressure in there. He sidestepped a guy as soon as he got the ball one time and actually got around the end, and he probably wouldn't do that against first-team Jets defense, but I liked his vision and the way he was running. You know, he had nice soft hands.
He's definitely better receiving out of the backfield. I mean, he averaged like 2 yards a carry on 17 carries for 37 yards. So you can see where his strength is, and that's something that, you know, they might even look into, you know, a change of pace back, bring in this guy to run screens too while, you know, Foster's over there, you know, getting some air after he's, you know, taking it 85 yards to the house on teams like the Titans.
Okay.
That fourth down, putting in. All right, well, that's two of the main games we have in the AFC South. Tennessee and Houston both won their games. The other two games, we got Jacksonville and the Colts. I mean, from what I saw.
Live in person.
Yeah, neither one of them, I mean, they both got beat down pretty good that first week one of preseason. We go look at it. Jacksonville lost to, Patriots 47 as well. I mean, they got just Ryan Mallett took them over and destroyed them. And then Colts, realistically, they look. I mean, it's 33-10 against the Rams. But that's kind of what you see from Peyton Manning less team, because, you know, with him not playing down in that game, you kind of feel like even if it's preseason or not, they're going to leave. But just to kind of see that, I know the Rams are good, but just kind of see how exposed they are too on when Peyton Manning's not there. I mean, you can kind of tell.
Oh, I'll say it. We were talking about it earlier, Ronnie, you know, you weren't in on this, but that team is a sub-500 team without Peyton Manning every year, it seems like. Reggie Wayne's getting old. You know, a die? Really? Yeah, as a workhorse? Get out of here with that. So it's like... well past his prime to me.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump dies pretty good, but... I mean, Peyton Manning is... You really can't gauge any of this crap, because he'll come in here and make all that whole team better, and he's a defensive guy's best friend, because he has these long drives, and, you know, a lot of first downs, a lot of third down conversions is what he does, so saves the defense, you know. You get Orlovsky or Painter in there, and you're going to gas that defense by the first half.
We got to see Painter a couple of times last year. Wasn't too pretty at all.
No.
Okay. Well, that kind of covers week one of the preseason. Let's jump on in to a little topic we're going to have a little fun with. We're going to start off first with our power rankings. We're going to go top five power rankings. I'm going to let y'all all run down. You know, I do mine at the end. Who do you have as top five in power rankings? Go from 5 to 1. All right. Who wants to go first?
From 5 to 1. Okay. I'll go first. I don't really have it written down in order, but your fifth team, I would have to say, is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. I have them top five for sure, and this could fluctuate a little bit.
Right.
Your number four team, I would have to go with the Saints. I think the Saints are still right there. I think they're going to be good.
Yeah, that offense is going to get you. It's going to take them places. They may not miss a beat.
My number three team would be the Patriots. I think they're obviously right there year in, year out.
Right.
No matter what, have to give it to them. I'm not going to put the Jets on this list because I'm still not sold on Mark Sanchez. They got a world-class defense. Obviously, they've been to two, you know, AFC Championship games in a row. Kind of like the old Ravens to me, all defense, you know, and right. They couldn't get it done. But consistently, till that offense gets better, I won't put the Jets on there.
And so that's what holds them out of my top five is that it's all about coming down that quarterback play for them. That's all it is.
My number two, I'm going to have to say Philly, man. They made a lot of moves. They made the playoffs last year. If Vic can stay healthy, the sky's the limit for this team. I mean, really. I hate to say that. I'm not a bandwagon guy, but anywhere from 2 to 5 here, I think they're right in it. And number one, hey, I'm a big believer in, you know, you got to take it from the champ. The Packers won the Super Bowl with basically half their team decimated with injuries, and they're getting all these guys back. I think they're going to make another run. I think they're going to be right there. There you go. That's my top five.
All right, Ronnie. Let's see what you got going on that side.
Ooh, I like the Steelers at number five. I like the Steelers. I'm knocking number five is going to be the Steelers. I'm going to knock Grimm's Saints out of that number four, and I'll put the Dirty Birds in at number four because I love the addition of Julio Jones. I love Matt Ryan and company.
Gotta love Matty Ice.
Matty Ice. I mean, the guy. You know, he's going to do it. They're only getting better. They're a young team. I think this is their year. They're going to, you know, definitely step it up and be one of the teams to beat. Number three, and it's getting tough. I'm with you. I'm with you guys. Jets aren't in my top five. I'm going to go number three. I think we're going to have to roll with the Eagles. They're going to be my number three. Definitely makes them contend. You know, is it enough to really – is Michael Vick really the guy that's going to lead these guys through Super Bowl? And I don't see it. But I see them being contenders, definitely. Number two, as bad as I hate these guys, I'm going to tell you Patriots have to be number two. And solely because of that, the guy, the man himself, you know, Tom Brady, he keeps you there. The addition of Ocho Cinco, bringing in Big Albert Haynesworth, if he, you know, stays healthy, that defense, you know, got that much better. You know, I'm going to see, you know, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis taking a bulk of the carries. Danny Woodhead, the great change of pace back. And I'm going to go with the number one, and I'm in agreement here, and I hate to say it, is your number one is probably going to be the Packers. I think Aaron Rodgers and company is the team to beat. They set the standard. And like Brent said, they're only getting better. They're you know, bringing back tons of people that were hurt. They finished up 10-6 last year because of injuries and still won the Super Bowl. So,
yeah.
Pretty close. Dirty Birds and Saints.
You get three out of five. Y'all got right on the money. Y'all got the same thing. You know, I'm right there with you. Three out of the five for sure. We all almost have pretty much an agreement on. We run down my. This is the only one y'all have on y'all's that I have on mine. It's kind of a little bit of a sleeper pick, but I think truly, I mean, they can make a run. It's just there's so many good teams in the NFC this season. It's going to be tough, but, I mean, they're a young team. I mean, up and coming, got a young quarterback. I mean, they're playing good ball. It's going to be them Tampa Bay Buccaneers at my number five.
Wow. Tampa in the top five.
Whoa!
I tell you what, I like what Josh Freeman's doing down there with that with the head coach Morris is doing. I mean, like I said, you got a good team. Like with Garrett Blount, I think it shows he can keep being that workhorse and that good offense that they got, and just that defense keeps getting better and better. They gonna make some strides this year too, and I think they're gonna surprise some people. That I mean, they gonna have a chance to shock some people in that playoffs.
I think they're right there. I think they're on the way up. Top five? Woo! Okay.
That's big words. I do like Mike Williams in a sophomore year to really break it out this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, and really it's been over there. And I'm like, you know, I'm a fan of Josh Freeman. He's looked good. He's impressive. So, top five.
I had no expectations for him, but he's come out and impressed me since day one. So, I give it to the kid. Number four, I'm in agreement with old Ronnie over there. The Dirty Birds, I got the Falcons at number four. I mean, right now, I mean, with the way that Matt Ryan, Matty Ice, I mean, since he's come into the league, I mean, he's done nothing but make plays. And each year, he keeps getting more weapons, and this offense keeps getting better. He's got Michael Turner back there. He's got Tony Gonzalez for a tight end. He's got Roddy Wyatt. Now he's got Julio Jones. I mean, this team is... The team's going to be going places. I mean, that offense is going to be spectacular. Got a good defense, and like I said, every year they're going to get better. And it's that's the thing. None of them on that team is getting young. They're playing better as a team. They were almost there last year. They were that close, but just a little short. I think they're going to be.
You got to do something when you have one of the top young quarterbacks in the league, followed by what some consider the best receiver in the league right now. It could be a top five running back. So they got the weapons.
Right, and that's the thing too. And they're committed to getting this young man. Bankers. I mean, you got a year in and out. He said he had Roddy White. Now they brought in Tony Gonzalez. Now they have Julio Jones to come with them. I mean, they're just steadily giving this kid more weapons to work with. And, you know, if I was a young quarterback with his talent, I'd be just grinning year to year because it's like this shows that this team is confident in me. They want to win a Super Bowl and they're giving me every possibility to do it. And I like what I see over there in Atlanta. Number three, I hate to say it because I can't stand any Boston team, but I got them Patriots. Give them their respect. I got them at number three because Bill Belichick, with what he does with every team he's got and Tom Brady quarterback, they gonna be contenders. And especially with some of the moves they make, I like bringing in Chad Johnson to help Tom Brady because I think that's gonna be a pick this year. A good fantasy pick, and I think Chad Johnson's going to have a breakout year. He's going to have one of his best statistical seasons in a while with Brady coming to him. And then, like you said, Monty brought up Albert Haynesworth and stuff, too. Haynesworth, I think, is going to get a fire lit underneath him by Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick's going to get him to play football. And when
I think Haynesworth wants to be surrounded by the opportunity to win, and he knew he wasn't getting that in Washington, and I think he's going to see that in Belichick.
Right. And that's the thing, when you get him to play,
your potential or you're out here.
Yeah, when Bill Belichick, he's gonna get the best out of his players. And when he gets Albert Haynesworth to play to the best of his ability like he used to, I mean, because he was pretty much the most disruptive defensive player in the league a few years ago. And I think Belichick can make him come close to that, and that's what that defense is gonna need. So I have them. That's why they're up in the top three. But I like some of the moves they made, even though I don't like them as a team. I think it's going to help them this season. Number two, I got the Eagles up there. I mean, I'm kind of with you. I'm not much of a bandwagon jumper, but they were pretty. I mean, they were close last year. A really good team, but the additions they made this offseason, I mean, it's like they're the Miami Heat of the NFL. You get Austin Waugh, Rodgers Cromartie, and Sante Samuel at cornerback. You got three number one cornerbacks on your team, pretty much.
Still, though, is Mike Vick.
That's the thing. If Mike Vick can stay healthy, that's the question. That's going to be the true determiner of where this team's going to go.
That's a big if, because this year he don't have Kevin Cobb to back him up.
Right. So, I mean, he was going to go as far as Michael Vick's going to take him. I mean, they surrounded them. They got a lot of good pickups in free agency. I mean, they look like they're the team to beat. And it just comes around to see how well this team comes together as a team and meshes, and if they're going to play that well together. And it all falls on Michael Vick at the end. The Eagles are going to go as far as Michael Vick takes them. And I'm agree with y'all. We're all in the same agreement. So, number one. Firm believer, too. They won the Super Bowl last year. They're the defending champs. And they're the defending champs when they had over 10 players on injured reserve. And especially when you have some of the players, you had your top running back, your top tight end. I mean, you had just considerable playmakers on IR last year. And you're getting them back from a team that won the Super Bowl? Come on, man. I mean, I think it's going to be another great year from the Packers.
Aaron Rodgers is legit.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite player on our team is Clay Matthews. AJ Hawes. Dude, that dude is a freak of nature, man.
I mean, that's okay. It's gonna be kind of fun to see because, now they got the target on their back. It's just how well they handle that target being on their back now, being the Super Bowl champs. But the thing is, like I said, I think they can be equipped with it because you got so many players coming off of IR. I mean, their team's only getting better. Like that night, Dane and Ronnie, you both said, it's only getting better now.
Well, I mean, you got to look at that division, too. I mean, they will probably win that division, in my opinion, and you don't want these guys in the playoffs. Best bet for everybody in the NFC, is for somebody to jump up, like the Lions or somebody or the Bears, and not just totally keep these guys out of the playoffs, because, you know, quarterback play is where it's at in the playoffs. Quarterbacks win Super Bowls, proven fact. Right. Aaron Rodgers is absolutely as good as it gets. You know, we'll have to do our top five quarterback rankings another podcast, but he's definitely in my top five right now.
He's my number one, and that's the reason I took him in this draft.
Number one?
That's the reason I took him. I think he's number one overall, and I took him in my last fantasy draft,
well,
first
got
round.
Got a ring.
He's got a ring. I wouldn't put him.
You got to consider him number one after he's got a ring.
I wouldn't put him a high all the way as number one. I give him probably top three to top five for sure. But I don't know, top ones, that's a little high, I think.
Ronnie said that's my number one.
That is, dude. I do not like the guy. But man, Aaron Rodgers, he's tough as nails. This guy will take a hit and want to go right back in the game. It's really hard to find a quarterback that will just take the lick he took and get back up and, you know, throw the ball and make it happen like he did. It's just, he made me a believer. He made me a believer that he is number one.
He made the whole world a believer, and he's got the hardware to prove it right now. So,
yeah, he does.
You know, Drew Brees got one. Peyton Manning's got one. You know, Tom Brady's got how many? I mean, you know, rings are that's the goal. So, you know,
yeah,
a lot of guys that can get that
goal
conversation that don't have a ring, though. I mean, Phillip Rivers is right there to me, too. But until you get a ring, you really can't. That's the next step.
You get a ring, it's almost like Dan Marino didn't get his ring. And can you really consider him one of the greatest of all time because he didn't have that ring?
I think if you have a long career.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Marino came in 85 and played to what, 15 years?
Yeah, I mean, it's a team sport. I mean, there's a ton of quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame, or maybe not in the Hall of Fame, that are considered the best that don't have a ring. I mean, but then again, guys like Terry Collins that got how many passing yards? And, you know, he didn't have a ring.
Right.
So, I mean, if you play long enough, it's kind of like Jim told me, you play long enough, you can get your numbers. But those rings, man, that's what pushes the category.
All right. Well, I like what we got there. That's some pretty good top five power rankings. We all seem like we're pretty close on what we got. And if correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we all had just one AFC team in that top five.
Woo!
And they were each one of us had the Patriots in there. That was the only AFC team I heard.
Well,
at least you know we're not biased and we didn't throw our picks on the Titans in there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we go on true expert opinion, not saying we're experts, but we're taking that fan side out of it and giving you what we truly believe. And
right. We don't have a ring yet. We don't have a ring.
Right. And
I think you'd have to put the Ravens, the Jets, and maybe even the Chargers and in the next five, so you know.
It's just
I think pretty even AFC, NFC, but
it's
you
just,
know.
I can see the Chargers fall on number six or number seven if you're going down the power ranking. I would take the Ravens right there around number six, number seven also solely based on their defense. But as far as seeing Joe Flacco being a Super Bowl quarterback, I don't see him. I haven't seen it yet. Mark Sanchez same way. I don't see it. His body language is all wrong. He's not the guy that I can see leading the Jets into a Super Bowl.
Me either.
I mean, it's one of those guys. He's a USC guy, so you know how those guys come out and they just want everything handed to them. I played at, you know, University of Southern California. I want everything handed to me. I mark the school of hard knocks because it's my idea that you're going to earn it. In my book, Mark Sanchez has not earned his stripes.
Let me tell you something who I think is going to have a breakout year team-wise that I hate to say it, but I think the Cowboys are going to make a run this year, too. I feel it. I don't know why. I know that.
I like Romo, man. I'm not a Cowboys fan.
Romo's with you. People hate on Romo a lot, but hey, go look at his numbers for regular season. Give
Romo's
me a break.
Numbers
he's right up there.
That's what I told
you. Year after year. Their problem is their running game. Well, let's hope that they're not going to pull some running back by committee stuff this year, and let's just see if they're going to get the bulk of it to Felix Jones and let him do his thing. And I think that's what held them back in the past was their running game.
So I told everybody, I said, everybody hates on Romo and all these Cowboys fans hate on him. I said, you give a Titans fan the last couple of years the chance to have him on our team, we'll take it in a heartbeat. You put him with Chris Johnson, we're going to be in the playoffs every season as long as they don't get hurt. I guarantee. I mean, because he, like Dane said, he is legit. He's going to get you over by about 4,000-yard passing every season. I mean, he's up there.
Dez Bryant's going to break out. Miles Austin. I mean, those guys, that's a hell of a 1-2 punch.
Dude, they know what they were doing when they were getting Dez Bryant. They were adding that 1-2 punch. And enough to where they was able to cut Roy Williams. You bring back Romo, who's only going to make Jason Witten better. He's going to make Dez and Miles better.
I think they needed to trim the fat by their running back by committee with like four running backs. I think you got to commit to somebody, man. I think you got to give them a chance to get into a rhythm. I think they needed a change, much like the Titans. They needed a new regime. They needed a new direction. They needed some fire.
Yeah.
So I think that team's on the rise in my book. I think Cowboys are on the rise.
I can see them making some moves.
Let's go on to the next topic real quick. We're going to a little something short and quick, but we're going to do it. We're going to do about three of them this season. We're going to do one right now for preseason and mid-season, and then right before the playoffs. We're going to do Super Bowl predictions, but we got it going on right now. And start it off right here. Here's my Super Bowl prediction. First one, I hate to say it, but they're in my top five, but they're the only AFC team in there. But I hate to see them in there, but I can't see how good of a coaching staff and a team they could be. I'm putting the Patriots in the Super Bowl, as much as I hate to say it. I'm putting them in there. This is the other one. It might not come as much of a shock to some people, but I'm not picking the Eagles to head to the Super Bowl this year. I know all the hype and stuff, and they don't have a good shot, but I believe the Dirty Birds are getting back to the Super Bowl this year. It's going to be Atlanta versus the Patriots.
I like that a lot, son. I'm right there with you with that. I mean, I could see, I could really see the Patriots, because Tom Brady wants to get back there. When Tom Brady wants something, whether it's a hot supermodel or just a Super Bowl, Tom Brady's going to get it. So I see AFC, I see it being Tom Brady. And coming out of the NFC, I mean, it's looking like it's, you know, Atlanta's to take. And, I mean, I hate to follow suit, but I think I might be, if I was going to change anything, I would say it might be the Saints knocking on the door, but I like to see the Dirty Birds also.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to totally mix it up because, you know, how often in the power rankings are two of your top five teams make it to the Super Bowl? You know,
right.
I'm trying to look outside the box here a little bit, and I, believe it or not, from the AFC, I'm going to put the Chargers in the Super Bowl from the AFC. I think they're going to get over the hump. I think they're going to make a run. I think they're going to cakewalk that division this year.
Oh,
I think this is the year they're going to get their shit together and make a run for the Super Bowl. Phillip Rivers is legit. He's in my top five. I've seen that. And getting Vincent Jackson back, getting a little bit more stable. I'm just going out on a limb. Call me crazy. That's my AFC pick. And my NFC pick, I like those Saints. I don't think the Saints are done. I think with all this you know, Dirty Bird talk, I think they're going to fly under the radar, and they got a ring, too. They've got a ring, too, and they're right there. That division is tough. They might beat each other up too much to make a deep run, but that's my call, Saints and Chargers. How do you like that, huh?
I'll tell you what, if it comes down to that, wouldn't that be a Super Bowl to see? Phillip Rivers playing the guy that he beat out for the starting position.
That's a storyline right there.
That is a great storyline if it came down to.
Hey.
Breeze versus Rivers.
You heard it here first.
First here first, this
heard,
guy.
Heard it from AKA from a list.
That's right.
I could be saying the Texans Lions Super Bowl. That's a story. You want a story about him? You want the lowest rated Super Bowl ever? You put the Texans versus the Lions.
You could have the Redskins and the Texans. I mean, that
yeah.
would
be yeah, yeah. That would do it. Let me throw another thing in there too. Let's pick, and I don't want to pick wrong teams. I don't want to be biased right here. I know if you gave us the opportunity, I'd pick Tennessee or Harvey. But give me one team that you believe that's going to try to shock people this year. Not from the AFC South, though, because we're going to stay unbiased. Give me your one team that you got.
One team from the AFC?
Either AFC or NFC. Just make sure it's not the AFC South.
I said it before. I'm going to stick with it. I think with all this Eagles talk, I think the Cowboys are going to shine and might even take that division. I've already made that prediction on another show. I said the same thing. You heard it here first. Cowboys are going to win that division. Eagles are going to get the wild card. Cowboys.
All right. What you got, Dane?
You're breaking up.
All right. What team do you have that's not from the AFC South that you see breaking out this year in a breakout manner? Who you got?
You know, we mentioned on them earlier, and I like them Bucks.
Yeah, Bucks. That's a solid big for
me. With the weapons they got on offense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's – I got to – I mean, they're right there, and if their defense swings and comes around like they're – you know, with the moves they made, I think you got to give it to them. I mean, I love young Michael Williams. You know, Aurelius Ben, they're a young team, man. And Josh Freeman has just looked incredible. He's real composed at quarterback. And I like them Bucks, man. I like to see them really make a run for things.
I do. I like that because I can say that. I put them a little bit kind of a shocker in my top five because I think they're going to do good. This is one. I'm going to kind of go off, and I might catch one flat from it, too. It all depends on, I believe, one player. But I still say it. I say it to this day right now, and I'm going to say the Lions. I know they're playing in a tough division, but, you know, I believe they have that they can beat the Vikings. I mean, it's going to be hard beating the Packers either way because they're the defending Super Bowl champs, and as good as team they are, it's going to be tough for them even to get the split against them. But if you look down to it for the rest of the season, I can see them taking down the Vikings and either taking a split with the Bears or possibly coming away with both because they have a good upcoming team. I like what Jim Schwartz is doing over there. I mean, as long as Matthew Stafford stays healthy, which I think he can this year, and with old Megatron on the outside and Javon Best running that ball, and, I mean, with some of the young playmakers they got, too, with Brandon Pettigrew and stuff, and I like what they're doing on defense, too. I mean, they build that defense lineup. I mean, that defense line is a beast. You got Nick Fairley that's going to be in there. And Dominican Sue is just terrorizing quarterbacks. Along with
speaking of Sue, what about that $20,000 fine? Couldn't believe that from a preseason game, man. It's already starting with these. Don't touch them. Just go and tap the quarterback on the shoulder. Just give him a little tappy. Don't tap him. Just tap a root.
that's one of the things I don't like about Roger Goodell. I mean, he's done some good things as he's become commissioner, but I mean, the fines. I mean, his warden mentality that he has, and he has the final say so in all this. I mean, it's the NFL. I mean, that's what it is. It's the best of the best. You're gonna get hit week in and week out. I mean, This is not for the kid. It's not a kiddie league. It's not flag football.
You don't want to take the risk of getting injured. Then once you go work through some construction where the risk is just as high, but you don't get lifetime health care after you retire.
Right.
You know, come on. You know what you're getting into, and now you're getting paid the big bucks, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, you know, don't touch me. Oh, he tackled me too hard. He grabbed my face. Man, get out there and play, man. Blood, sweat, and tears. Leave it all on the field. You break your arm, you bounce back from it. You're getting paid to get out there and play.
Yeah, I mean, I hope in a few years, I mean, I hope we don't come up and see that it's just this league's gotten too sensitive I mean, because that's the thing. Yeah. NFL is the epitome of all sports. I mean,
that falls on the commissioner's shoulders, too. I mean, you got to go look at Roger Goodell. Remember when Paul Tagliabue was the commissioner, and he did not ever interfere. He knew how the game was supposed to be played, and it seems like, to me, Goodell is just trying to dig in too much. He's listening too much to the media, trying to give the fans what they want. Oh, you know, don't hurt the players. They're hitting too hard, and it's, you know, concussions this and concussions that, and it's like, man, let these guys play the sport. You know, I'm tired of don't dumb down something that's really great.
Right. All right. Well, we got a few more. Let's try to get them a little bit quick through here. Let's touch on CJ's contract holdout real quick. I got it hurts a little bit because, you know, it's dragging out. It feels like the Titans mini lockout situation for us. I mean, because until we get him signed, we're gonna be on our edge of our seats, because we know that this team goes through Chris Johnson too. But I got some stats that I pulled up. I read them this morning. I want us to throw them out there, because Adrian Peterson's in his last deal of his contract this coming season. He's gonna get, when he gets his new contract, he's gonna get a big money.
They're projecting him to get $14 million. That's what Peterson's next contract's gonna be.
And that's kind of what CJ's want. He's wanting what Adrian Peterson's gonna get next year. And let's just kind of throw something out, because I know they're both in a standpoint. Tennessee wants him to come down before they give him a contract over. CJ's not coming down until he gets that contract over. He's gonna come down until he has to sign it. Which I think they should pay him. It needs to be. I think it should be the contract he wants. I mean, about $30 million guaranteed, about $14 million, but it needs to be front end heavy. I mean, that first 3 years, and where all that guaranteed money needs to come. Because after that, if he starts declining later in his years, I mean, if it comes down to it, we could trade him or cut him, and we won't have that big of a hit to salary cap. And we still have him in his prime if it came down to it. But let's throw this. I'm gonna throw this out real quick. Some of stuff, because we're gonna be comparing Adrian Peterson and CJ. Peterson's been in the league one more year, so stats are a little bit off. Peterson's got 5,000 yards, 5,782 yards, to CJ's 4,598. So he's about 1,300 yards ahead, but he's got a year on CJ. But if you look at it, CJ's averaging 5.0 yards per carry over 4 years, and Peterson's almost right there. He's about 4.8. Peterson's got 52 touchdowns to CJ's 34 on the ground. And that's not counting his receiving total, too. CJ's got quite a bit to the air that he's taking on screens and stuff. But this is one of the main stats I like to look at when we're talking about this, too. Because one of the big knocks on Adrian Peterson is, even though he's going to get this big contract, because he is a beast, I give him that. But over his 5 years, he's had 20 fumbles. CJ's been in it for 4 years. He only has 6.
That's big.
That's huge. Almost cost you a game.
Exactly. CJ, he doesn't put that ball on the turf, man. I mean, I give him that. He's a lot smaller back, but, I mean, he's very well built. I mean, he loves how to use his body to his advantage.
Think back to that Saints-Vikings game. All those balls he put on the turf. What do you think would have happened had he not?
On the risky side.
Greg Favre might have retired the Super Bowl champ.
Yep.
But that's one of the big areas I like to look at when we're through, especially cause when they compare Peterson and CJ to the who's the better back in the league either way. I mean, I might be biased because I'm a Titans fan, but if you look at the stats, I mean, CJ's, he's been in the league 1 year less, but the stats are off the chart for CJ. I mean, he doesn't put the ball on the turf. He's very well protected. He's still got a lot of touchdowns, more average per carry. And look, he's got 2,000 yards in a season. And he broke the yards from scrimmage record for a season, too. I mean, this boy is a playmaker. No doubt about it. So that's kind of my take. I mean, I think hopefully it'll get done. I think Tennessee needs to hurry up and get off this the standoff they had, and just get CJ in camp and get this deal done, because eventually this offense, I mean, I know we saw the first week of preseason look good, But without CJ, though, this offense is not going to be anywhere near.
Well, he clearly outplayed his contract. And I don't say that about a lot of guys. I mean, this guy is top 1-2, depending on who you're talking to, running backs in the league. Not only that, one of the few featured running backs anymore.
Right.
There's no running back by committee with him. This guy gets a lot of touches. He's highly, highly productive in an offense with no passing game to speak of, really.
And highly durable on top of that, too.
I mean, this guy has clearly come in and lit the world on fire at the running back position, and he is clearly saying, you know, I want the same money as, you know, he's gone back and said he doesn't even want top running back money. He wants top playmaker money. Now, you know, what the hell does that mean? But
right.
With the lifespan of a running back,
he's got to get it now.
He's got to cash it in now. And he's been that productive. I see where he's coming from. You know, it's not like I don't think he doesn't have a good point, but
CJ's, I mean, what, 25, 26 years old, so he has about 5 more years of solid running.
Right.
And one bad knee injury or something away from
30 year old back up.
And that's what I agree with.
Yeah.
You're looking at, he's got to get paid now, and he's, like you said, he's clearly outpaid. A lot of guys, you hear them holding out and whining and complaining about new contracts, and it makes you sick. But for a guy who has never rushed less than 1,000 yards since he's been in the league, and he rushed for over 2,000, one of 6 players to do it, and breaks the all-time yards from scrimmage for a season record, and he's doing it making $800,000 a year.
Yeah, I mean, he's like Hall of Fame track numbers from the beginning of a career. I mean, you know, I think you got to pay the man, you know.
You got to pay the man to keep the stands in the fan, because the fans in the stands, without Chris Johnson, you have a Titans team that, you know, I mean, I know you guys love Titans, but you take Chris Johnson out of the equation and you're like,
He's the face of the franchise.
He's almost the face of the league. He's right up there with a couple of guys that are the face of the league. I mean, you know.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's eventually going to get done. It's just it just depends on how long it takes. He's going to get his money, and I truly believe he deserves it. I mean, we all agree. You got to pay the man.
If you're to not pay him and lose Chris Johnson, that is like a knockout blow to that Titans franchise. It's just like, wow.
Plus,
you didn't keep the guy that right now the team really needs. You know, not only for his own field, you know, performance, but to really, you know, like I said, bring the fans to the game. They want to see CJ run the ball.
And if they eventually let him go, we're going to be looking down this a couple years down the road, looking at a top 10 show on NFL Network of the dumbest moves a team has ever made, and that's going to make the list, because that would be one of the dumbest moves, is to let someone of that ability go from your franchise just because y'all didn't want to pay him. Y'all wanted to keep him at $800,000 a year. It's just stupid.
It is. He's got all the leverage here. Hopefully the Titans they're just going to have to man up and do this, you know.
All right. Well, let's kind of we're gonna talk a little bit about fantasy now, since we all fantasy players, team players ourselves. We got our own teams and everything. Let's start off real quick. I got a top 8 of my top fantasy players. Y'all can do however y'all want. Top 10 or top 8. I'm gonna go with mine real quick. What I kind of see for the top fantasy breakout season we're gonna have. I'm going to start off with Rashard Mendenhall at number 8 with Pittsburgh. Because, you know, I think he's going to have a good year, be that featured back over in Pittsburgh. Because they're going to get back to running that ball over there. And I think he's going to have a very productive season this year. Another one I like is Ray Rice. And Devontae Leach come over now, that's going to do wonders for Ray Rice. I mean, he's going to have even a better season than he did last year. And he's going to, especially being that I think the true number one now, with not having to split some carries with Willis McGahee, it's going to help this game tremendously. Then we're going to go to number 6 over with Sean McCoy from the Eagles. He's such a versatile back. I mean, he can get over 1,000 for a season, and then Coleman still get you 500 to 700 receiving yards through the air for a running back. That's just something like that when I'm looking to, when I'm drafting a fantasy team, that's versatility I like to see. Because that gives me a guy who could possibly run for 100 yards in a game for a touchdown or so, maybe two, and give me about 70 or 80 yards to the air with possibly another touchdown. But that's fantasy points just out the chart like that I like to see. I like to see them versatile players. Then we're going to get into Jamaal Charles. Love Jamaal Charles. I mean, that kind of back, that speed back, still, I mean, I think he had a breakout season last year. I think he's going to go right on pace what he was doing last year with Matt Castle going with it. I think that he's still going to have a pretty good year. Number four, it all depends if he stays healthy, is Michael Vick. With all the weapons they get with the Eagles and stuff, it's going to be difficult. But if they can all stay healthy, they can mesh together, he's going to have another top five finish the year. Then my top three coming out to it are all running backs, which majority of my list are. I'm going to go number three. I'm going to go Arian Foster. I'm going to give that Texan boy some props. I think he's still going to have another good year. He's not going to have number one year like he did last year because he lost his starting fullback. He's still got a pretty good one coming over from Cleveland, but I think he's still got a top three to top five running back performance for a season. He's probably going to get about 1,300 to 1,500 yards, but I think there's just a couple other good running backs that's going to have some, a lot of yardage this year. Number two, I got Adrian Peterson up there because with a young quarterback coming, you got McNabb starting back there. So they're going to run that ball a little bit more, I think, because you saw with some of that kind of hurt last year with Favre and stuff. I think they're going to utilize Peterson a little bit better coming out with a new offensive coordinator and stuff and get that ball in his hands. I think he's probably going to have about a 1,500-yard-plus season, probably maybe 12 to 15 touchdowns on the ground. And then, you know, I might say I'm biased. I could be, but number one, it's got to be CJ2K for me. I mean, I think even after he gets this contract, he's not going to be one of these players that's going to be satisfied that he's got his contract now and he can go out and just play mediocre football. I think he's going to come out and he's going to have another breakout season. Actually, he gets his contract now. He's going to be set for life now, money-wise. But I think coming after that, I think his next goal is going to be, I want that ring. I need to get that ring now. I think he truly wants it. I think he's going to come out and do his best to get it. And, you know, I mean, he makes it a little bit of a crack, too, that he wants to break Eric Dickerson's record. If he can put up anywhere close that he did on his 2,000-yard season a couple of years ago, he's going to have an opportunity. Because there was two or three games he had about 40 or 50 yards just for the whole game early in the season that year, and he still broke out and had over 2,000 yards. So if he can put his mind to it, I think we could possibly see the first player in NFL history that can have two 2,000-yard seasons on the ground. And that's my top eight right there.
Ooh. Ronnie, you want to make a run at it or you want me to go? Technical difficulty.
Yeah. I'm going over this in my head. I don't want to get it wrong. So I'm going to let Graham go on this one.
All right.
I'm running numbers.
Here we go. My number eight pick is Tom Brady. I think he is going to light it up this year. I really think that Ocho Cinco, Wes Welker, I think these guys are just so good. I got that feeling that Brady is going to come in a little quiet the last couple of years. Good, you know, average Tom Brady seasons. I think he's going to break out and go back to Randy Moss-style numbers.
I think he could, too. I mean, he's going to have a breakout. I predicted it, too. He's going to have a breakout year. And I'm actually kind of shocked he didn't make it in my list. But I can see where you come from that, and that's a good pick.
I just got a feeling on that more than anything. I feel like he's been a little quiet, but this year is just going to be ridiculous again. So my number seven, Jamaal Charles.
probably the second most electric player to CJ2K in the league. I think Thomas Jones, a little older. I think he's taking the back seat now. I think Jamal Charles is going to be the feature back. And, you know, this is one of those guys that can take a screen to the house. He can take inside runs to the house, you know. He probably almost runs harder between the tackles than CJ sometimes, in my opinion. Electric, pure electric running back. I love him this year. My number six is Rashard Mendenhall. I think he's due for a really good one. It's all right there for him. You know, barring injuries with him, always worried about him tweaking little hamstrings and ankles and stuff. But if he stays healthy, and I know Ronnie hates that word if, I think Mendenhall is right there to have a monster season. My number five, Roddy White. I think adding another receiver, Julio Jones, to the mix does nothing but open more doors for him and Michael Turner. So I think Roddy White is just going to have a monster year this year. My number four is Michael Vick. And just like with anything with Michael Vick, running quarterback, you know, if he can stay healthy, at least for, you know, almost the whole season, I think he has potential to just absolutely light it up. I mean, Deshaun Jackson, Macklin, all those guys are beasts, and he'll be right there. My number three is Aaron Rodgers. I mean, nothing like giving the guy all his toys back and letting him go crazy. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to put up huge numbers this year. I kind of worry about that Super Bowl slump a little bit, but Aaron Rodgers is a smart guy. I think he'll keep it together, and he's just got so many weapons. It's hard to, you know, not see him just going crazy and getting a ton of yards and touchdowns. My number two, definitely concerned about this holdout stuff, but my number two is Chris Johnson. I don't like this holdout, and I don't like the history of running backs after they hold out, coming back, missing preseason, missing training camps. The track record is not good on that, so that's the only reason I don't have CJ number one. If he had been at training camp, I would definitely have him as the number one. My number one, AP. I think he's a workhorse. He's just going to do his thing. I think the new offensive coordinator, I think all that's going to do him good. Strong defense still. I think they're going to pound you into submission. And that's it. That's my top eight right there.
Whew, I like it. This is... I'm on top. This is very tough for me to... boy. I'm gonna roll with number eight. Number eight. Well, you know what? Let's just jump back. Let's go on. I don't think eight justifies this list. So I'm gonna drop one down to number 10 here. We'll do a little more. I'm gonna go as far as my top 10. I think I'm gonna put Darren McFadden in my top 10. Just because I think he's becoming that explosive player Oakland's looking for. He's good on the screens. He's quick. He's learning the system, and then they got faith in him. So from the word out of camp is McFadden's going to be the bulk of the carry. No more of this Michael Bush taking carries from him. So I like him at number 10. We'll go number 8, LeSean McCoy. I think with Michael Vick and a quarterback, I think sometimes he tends to want to be the guy that's kind of the workhorse running back almost. Man, I should have been playing to LeSean McCoy sometimes. I've seen that a lot last year. McCoy could have bigger plays, and he didn't. I think we'll see that continue. So number 9 will be LeSean McCoy. We'll go in number 8. I'll put Tom Brady, number 8. I think with Ocho Cinco out there, I think with a consistently healthy Wes Welker this season, I think Tom Brady is going to, you know, bounce back and be one of these top 10 fantasy threats. Let's go to number 7. We're going to go with Rashard Mendenhall. We know he's the workhorse there. He's going to get those goal line carries. He's a power back. I love my power backs because they're going to get them red zone carries. Let's go to number 7. Let's say Aaron Rodgers. I think you got to love this guy. He's got so many weapons to throw to. He's been known to even run a few NFL. Oh, boy. Man, this is getting tough. Run down number 6. Michael Vick's healthy. We know he's going to get points running. We know he's going to get points passing. So let's go number six, Michael Vick. And we'll go ahead and run number five, Jamaal Charles. And these are all top fives because we know backs are going to be your big scorers in the NFL, you know, especially in PPR leagues. So let's go number five. Let's go ahead and say it, Jamaal Charles. Number four, Ray Rice. Number three, Chris Johnson. Number two, Arian Foster, and number one, Adrian Peterson, because without Brett Favre trying to take over and throw bombs, you have Adrian Peterson back being pretty much the feature guy in Minnesota that often.
Whew.
That was a tough one, son.
It's not bad. I like what we got. That's a good list. Looking at it now, I had a feeling I might want to change my old a little bit, so maybe another quarterback or two in it, but I like what we got, a little diversity on that, like what I'm hearing. But we're kind of running over a little bit, so we're going to kind of wrap it up. We're going to tell you what we kind of got in store for next week. We're going to talk about week two of preseason, some of the games we got coming up, see how it looks like that. And we're going to do a little more fantasy next week. Next week we'll talk about a little bit some of the sleeper fantasy picks we got going. And we'll give you an update on the CJ hold out, give you any news if there's any injuries or any big time or noticeable roster moves coming up. You know, week two coming up, a lot of these teams are going to be starting making cuts sometime soon now. Some of the first round cuts are going to be coming up. And then we're going to get into schedule a little bit next week with the regular season, first quarter of that. Just dive over into that a little bit. Let's go ahead and end out. Good podcast. Enjoy what I hear. Like what we've seen from the AFC South this year. But you got to wrap it up. Hate to do it, but I love my brothers. So let's get that final roll call on that AFC South huddle. It's your host, True Titan, with my boy, Grimalish, and RonTheBomb.com. We're going to be signing off from AFC South huddle podcast. Our boys.
Peace.
Moment of silence for the champions, for those who make going hard a lifestyle. Never wait for nothing, gotta get it right now. I'm in the spotlight when they turn the lights down. Only a champ swing the hardest in the 12th round.